We see the name of our series for Advent is A Kairos Christmas. And what is that? What does that word kairos mean? It's a Greek word, and it's right at the very beginning of this verse. Most of us are familiar with Romans 5:8. For God, God demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? A few verses before that is a very important verse where it says, you see, in verse 6, at just the right kairos, at just the right time. That's that Greek word right there. It's a word that doesn't mean the other type of time when we talk about, hey, what time is it? Oh, it's 3, it's you know, 11:50. It's time for you to be done preaching, Pastor. What time is it? That's just a chronological. That word is chronos. We're talking the word kairos. That means this is a unique and special moment in time. It's an opportune moment. It's a fitting time, a season. Some people, you've heard maybe the term, for such a time as this. Oh, this was an important moment, right here, right now, okay? There was something unique about it. I think about a kairos moment that I had not long ago. I think I mentioned it before. My neighbor across the street that I did the fundraiser for, they were having a garage sale, and I tend to try to go to my neighbor's garage sales just because it's an opportunity to talk to somebody and get to know them. We don't get those opportunities with our neighbors very often. But I was busy and I was tired, and I'm like, oh, I just don't feel what I feel like it today. So I kept on going. Got down to Shaner, made a left. I'm like, oh, I forgot. I don't remember what I forgot, but I forgot something. I'm like, okay, God, I got you. I'm back around, went home, got what I needed, pulled up in front of their house, got out and perused through their garage sale and found out that they were raising money for his medical expenses. And that's when I found out what I was doing the marathon for, was to raise funds for them. That was a moment that I almost dodged. I almost missed that kairos moment. It was a moment in time that was important, and I needed to be engaged in it. And that's what that means. That's what the word kairos means. And at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just that opportune kairos moment, God knew exactly when that needed to happen. And it was then when Jesus came. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. And he did that. He had that moment that I had where he could have been, I don't feel like it. I just don't want to talk to somebody today. But what did he do? He said, no, Lord, not my will, but yours. Right there in the garden, that was one of those moments in the bigger moment, kairos moment, where he was to engage or not, and he stayed true and said, Lord, this is the moment I need to stay true. And he did. And he did. So as we take time to take communion, remember that moment that he gave for us, that he lived for us, that he persevered through. There's that word we've been talking about on Wednesday, right? He persevered through it. That's going through something, even when it gets hard or it takes longer than we think it's going to, we do it. And Jesus did that. He persevered. He said, this is my body, which is for you. I'm doing this. So whenever you do this, remember me. Remember this moment. Another one of those kairos moments that we look back on and say, There was significance in that moment. And he took the cup in the same way and said, this is a new covenant. New covenant in my blood. No longer the blood of sheep and goats and animals. It's a sacrifice made once for all. No longer needing to make sacrifices. Jesus was the last and final sacrifice for all of us. And he said, whenever you drink of this, do it in memory of me. And so we do, with grateful, grateful hearts. So how we take communion is we allow people to come up. I know some churches pass the emblems around or whatever. We just want you to come up as the Lord leads you and you feel ready, and you can take some time to kneel at the altar, to stand up in front. You can take it back to your seats and just before you partake, just pray and thank him. Thank him for what he's done. You don't wait for everybody to do it together. Make this your time of worship to spend with him. And he'll meet with you there. We have baskets up here for the cups when you're finished, and that's, you can put them in there. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for that moment that you engaged and stayed true to the calling that you came here for, Lord. This is what Christmas is about. Communion is what Christmas is about. And so we love you for what you've done for us. We love you for your body broken for us. We love you for the blood you shed on our behalf to cleanse us. And so today we just want to stop and say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Help us to live our lives, to watch for those moments, and to live holy lives, to live lives just set apart for you, Lord God. And we'll thank you for how you enable us to do all that you have prepared us and are calling us to. We thank you, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. All right, well, as the Lord leads you, feel free to come up and take communion, and we'll share our time together with him. Yeah, those hymnals, they never run out of batteries. The bulbs don't die. They just keep on going and going. Praise the Lord. Well, as we focus on our Kairos Christmas, these moments that change us. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8, is where we're going to be spending some time. Luke 2, verse 8. You know people who are kind of just angry people? We have them in our lives sometimes. People that are just sad, that just struggle to be happy, or maybe people that are just struggle with forgiveness. I mean, there's lots of different things. Maybe some, you know of somebody that's just a really good pessimist. They just can nail down what's wrong with everything, and you're just like, stop, you know. I know because I was one. I was one of the kings. I always looked at everything from the glass 1/8 full. That was me. But you know what? Sometimes there's those people that are all wrapped up in one, all wrapped into one package, and those are hard people to love, right? We're gonna play the videos. If you can't see them, you'll at least be able to hear them because I think they'll still be fun. Go ahead. This is the Grinch hating the Whos.
So, whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood outside his cave, hating the Whos.
Alphabetically. Art Barkin, Abacanesia Who, I hate you! Aaron B. Benson Who, I hate you! Hate, 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 hate. Double hate. Loathe entirely. Nutcrackers.
It's their jubilation. He snarled with a sneer.
Tomorrow's Christmas. It's practically here.
Bats! Fetch me my sedative!
How to take care of those pesky memories.
It was someone who just hates everything that was good and not what he wanted. It was just he was a hater. He just struggled with what other people enjoyed. So what do you do with a Grinch? Well, I might ask, what did God do with us? What did God do with us? Do not be afraid, the angel said. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's what God does with a world full of Grinches. You know what? He sent Emmanuel. He sent God, his son, to come and be with us in all of our grinchy bickering and selfishness and anger and indifference and whatever other ways that we find ourselves living that are just not ways of love. What did God do with a world full of Grinches? Well, he came and brought them good news. And he came and brought them great joy. You know? It's not easy to offer these things when people have created their own misery. You know, their own... They've created their world of unhappiness or unforgiveness or anger or whatever it is. And sometimes it's created for them, but we respond to it one way or the other. And it's not always easy to go to that person and offer them good news, right? And offer them something with great joy. But that's what God did. Because God looks past us as we are. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad that he doesn't look at you just the way you are and say, I'm not going to mess with that mess. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He looks at us and says, I know where you are now, but oh, I also know what I created you for. And I know what can happen if you would just surrender your life to me. I could change and transform you like you have no idea. He looks beyond and past what we are today. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, that's really good news. He looks to the possibilities. He looks to the things of the future. If you've watched that movie, one of the words that Cindy Lou Who described the Grinch with was, I think he's kind of, remember? Nice. This little cherubby kid, I think he's kind of nice. He's nothing, there's no nice about the Grinch. She just can't find it. And somehow, she's looking beyond what she sees, just like God does. He sees us, because we were created, how? In his image, in his likeness. We're a broken version of that image, and yet an image of his likeness nonetheless. And he says, I can put this mess back together and make it what it was supposed to be, what I intended it to be. He does this with the expectation of what did, in the city of David is born to you, what did this verse say? A Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He knew we needed saving. We didn't always know we needed saving. Eventually, hopefully, he gets our attention and makes us recognize, yeah, you really do need saving. That's what he came. He came with the expectation of saving and bringing his creation back to himself. So what does it look like when love shows up? Well, we're going to hear as Cindy Lou, if you can kind of maybe bring the low end frequencies down a little, it'll probably make it come out a little more. I don't know if you can do that or not, but we're going to hear when Cindy Lou shows up with love to visit the Grinch.
Mr. Grinch, I came to invite you to be Holiday Cheermeister.
Holiday who be whatty?
Cheermeister.
Eh? Cheermeister, celebrate with friends.
That's a good one.
I know you hate Christmas, but what if it's all just a misunderstanding?
Don't care.
I mean, I myself am having some Yuletide doubts. But maybe if you can reunite with the Who's and be a part of Christmas.
Maybe if you can reunite with the Who's and be a part of Christmas. Grow up!
Then maybe it'll be all right for me, too.
I'm sorry, your session is over. Please make another appointment with the receptionist on the way out.
Please, please, you have to accept the award.
Award? You never mentioned an award.
Yeah, with a trophy and everything.
And I won?
You won!
That means there were losers.
I guess. So if you come
down losers! I like it. Was anyone emotionally shattered? Come on, a minute ago I couldn't shut you up. Details, details!
Well, the mayor wasn't happy.
Oh, no.
We'll be there.
Oh, she will?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll see me, a winner. Mm-hmm. She'll be on me like flegal flies on a flat-faced flugel horse.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Martha, baby, but the G-train has left the station.
So will you come?
Oh, all right. I don't know if it's that adorable twinkle in your eye or that non-conformist streak that reminds me of a younger, less hairy me. But you've convinced me. Who knows? This humiliation could change my entire outlook on life.
Really?
No.
So at the end there, when he said, this could change my entire trajectory of my life. She said, really? And he says, no. And then he pulls the thing and she goes down the garbage dump back to town. So Cindy Lou had a Kairos moment where she is like, I don't know about this whole Christmas thing. Of course, the whole thing with the Who's are just all about Christmas and presents and lights and toys. And she's like, this doesn't feel like this is what Christmas is supposed to be about. And so she feels, she finally realizes there's something I need to do. And she does something. She says, you know what, if Christmas is really real, I need to live like it's real. And in this story, she needed to love her neighbor. And that neighbor ended up being, of course, the Grinch. Now, a lot of times when we show up, or when we show up and do an act of love like that, people don't always think it's going to work, so to speak. They're like, that person's not going to receive that. You can't change that kind of person. That they're always going to be that way. You can't change people. Well, God has an amazing way of working through simple acts of love. You do not have to have this big, elaborate, costly whatever. Sometimes it's just taking the time to stop and sincerely reach out to somebody. Not as a perfect person. I don't know if you caught that, Cindy Lou saying, I'm having Yuletide doubts myself. Maybe if you'll come down and it'll all be okay. You know, she's kind of wrestling with her own. What is this Christmas? This isn't what Christmas is supposed to be about. And so sometimes it's just simply, you know what, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, then I'm going to love my neighbor and actually do it. And that's what she did. So maybe it was an invite to the Grinch, to the Whovilation celebration. Maybe it's an invitation to your neighbor to a barbecue. Maybe it's just talking over the fence across the yard, taking the time to do that and saying, hey, how was that situation? We talked about that before. Checking in with them. Maybe it's a simple invite to church. You know, sometimes, a lot of times people don't come because nobody asks them, right? Maybe, like for me, it was just simple as my neighbor that I did the fundraiser for, her husband's old minivan that was sitting in the driveway and had a flat tire. I said, hey, you want me to get that changed for you? Oh, that would be great. Yeah, well, it took us probably 3 weeks to finally actually coordinate it to where I actually connected with her to do it. And it took me two tries because I brought it back. They fixed the tire, parked it in her driveway, and it was flat the next day again. So I'm like, hey, Jennifer, I think your tire's flat again. She's, oh, really? I said, just leave the keys in there and I'll take it in. So got it fixed. A week later, she had sold it off to one of her family members. Some simple things. Just reaching out in love. Love can change a heart. What happens? Well, let's listen to... I wish I had the videos. But you get some of the idea of what happens when a heart gets changed. Go ahead.
Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Oh! Ow!
Then, well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
A all of that noise was the Grinch feeling. All of a sudden, his hardened heart realized, wait a minute, there is something more that I hadn't gotten before. And of course, this doesn't speak of the Christ child, but we will extrapolate that the something more is, of course, the Christ child. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Love showed up. Love showed up. And it showed up to the undeserved, the ones that Scripture talks about us when we are apart from Christ. We're his enemies. We are living in opposition to him. And without Christ, we are going our own way. And when we come to realize that love came down, love showed up in the person of Jesus. To Joseph, the angel said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That, we look around at the world, and what's the problem with the world? It's sin. It's sin. That's the problem. That's the problem. And when we finally get the reality that God loves us in spite of ourselves, our hearts melt, and we begin to feel as the Grinch did in ways we had not felt before. Beloved of God. And one last thing, as he's beginning to experience the reality that there is such a thing as love, and I can love, and people can love me. This is the next to the last video here.
Oh no, the sleigh, the presents, they'll be destroyed.
And I care! What is the deal? Wait!
So, I'm sorry. He's realizing all of a sudden that he loves the Who's, and he also realizes that the sleigh of presents is about to slide down the side of the mountain. And he says, and I care. What's the deal here? Right? Great lines. Yeah. His brain is like, why am I feeling like this? I don't know. But he loves it. His heart has been turned back on again. That's a fun way of us recognizing that when love shows up, when Jesus enters the heart, we begin to have an inside-out change. We become changed from the inside out in ways nobody could ever change us. Only the person of Christ coming and bringing us to the place of recognizing, God, I need you. And you came for me. This was, right? Good news. Good news of great joy to all the people. That's what Christmas is about. And Christmas is the foundation of Easter, because without Christmas, is there an Easter? No. It's the foundation of the good news of the gospel, that God, in his love, sent his son to be Emmanuel, God with us. He saw our problem. We couldn't fix ourselves. Nothing we could do to fix ourselves. So he came and did it for us. If you are still in the place of trying to fix yourself, and you haven't recognized the only way this is going to happen is if I, in faith, ask God to do it for me, you will continue to struggle and wrestle with an impossible task of fixing yourself. And it is an impossible task. Until you come to the place of saying, God, you knew it was impossible. That's why you sent your son Jesus to do what I couldn't do. And you came to save me. You came to break the chains of sin. You came to set me free. You came to bring me joy. And That Kairos moment when Jesus entered the world, Emmanuel came, God with us, it changed the world. Because of that Kairos moment, the church was born, right? The world changed. People changed. In Acts 2:41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to the church that day. After the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the church was born and the world was never the same. Never the same. Those cowering disciples, they were on fire. They were on fire because they saw the resurrected Jesus. That one that was born 30-some years earlier in a little manger, raised by human parents. God the Son, taken care of by a teenage girl and probably a young man. Oh my gosh. Amazing. The angels celebrated, right? They celebrated. Glory to God. Peace on earth on whom his favor rests. Even in all of our sin and disobedience, his favor somehow still rests upon us. His goodness. So, as we close today, I just want to allow you a moment to ask the Lord, who might you put in my pathway? What Kairos moment are you going to bring to me where all of a sudden there's a situation or a person that's for such a time as this moment? Not just another one of our, I got up, I got my coffee, I went to work, I did this, and I came home, and I did some dishes, and blah, 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 blah. No, but there was this all of a sudden, oh, wow. There's something vital. There's something important that is happening right now. Are you going to be ready? Let me ask you a quick survey. Can you think of somebody who had an impact on your life, or a situation that had an impact on your life, where it was like, that was a crossroads, that was a Kairos moment in my life where I was like, it changed the trajectory of my life, right? I'm gonna ask for some stories. Anybody want to share with me? No long ones. I just want a quick descriptor, 2-3 sentences. This was a defining moment in my life. It's important for us to hear what these things look like in the lives of other people. Okay, Deb.
My mother had been praying for me for about 20 years, and I was very out there. We'll leave it at that. And I was coming to a place where I thought, oh, see, God is answering my prayers, and God is doing this, and God is doing that. And in actuality, God was doing some absolutely miraculous things. And my mother was panicking because she thought after 20 years of praying that now I was seeing God apparently moving in my life, but I was still, you know, I don't need your Jesus thing, you know. So it was a real crossroads. And the Lord just filled her with the Spirit. She turned and looked at me and she said, I want you to know God is not obligated to do anything for you. You don't belong to him.
Wow.
And I was stunned, and I was angry, and I slammed out of her house, and I couldn't figure, what is she saying to me? And I got saved within a month.
Praise the Lord. Boy, it can happen in different ways, can it? Wow, that's great. Do you have a moment where it was like, wow, this was a crossroads, where God just showed up, or somebody God used?
When our dad got sick, and we got thrown into the position of how we're going to take care of him, and all that stuff, that was a defining moment. He's really showing up and letting us know what we have to do.
Wow. So sometimes hardships are those Kairos. There's something going on here. moments. Wow. Praying for you guys.
We can all think of many moments when God shows up and you're like amazed. But I remember before I met Joe, this was in 78. I'm feeling very weepy because my body's sore today. 75. No, 78, honey. Yeah.
Three sentences,
my
Joe.
My story,
you're,
babe.
You're using up her sentences.
Anyway, so it was January of 78. I just remember that I was very depressed at that time. I was like looking for a meaning, for God to really provide something. And we had a speaker come to Fisherman's Net that Sunday, and he was looking for people to go on the mission field. And I felt that hope well up in me, that I knew I was going to be doing it. And I said, Lord, how can I do that? But I went to the meetings, and I spent the summer in France sharing in my second language the gospel with people. And you know something special is going on when you knock on some doors and you say, have you heard about Jesus? And he said, no, is he new in the neighborhood? And I thought, whoa. Anyways, I'm keeping it short.
Oh, wow. What a blessing that is. Yeah. Hey, great.
I worked in a factory many years ago. I'm not going to say how many. And we worked with a guy who we called the preacher. He was one of those outgoing Christians, always talking about Jesus. And after I stopped making fun of him and started listening to him, he started to make sense that's what I needed in my life. And one day, he just looked at me and said, you're ready. You're ready.
Wow.
And I said, I am. And we knelt down right there on the cement floor, and I accepted Jesus. And my life has been blessed ever since. And I thank him for that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Look, I mean, just so in the middle of work, somebody said, your friend said, okay, I need to just talk to this guy. Today's the day. You never know. But those are God, Spirit-led things. And not things we can concoct and decide on our own. It's like, God, you need to show me when and where and what. And that's when those things happen like that.
When, just before I got saved, I was filled with a lot of fear about a lot of things. But and I was living in a gray area. I didn't know what was right, what was wrong, how to do this, how to do that. And one day I was working with a coworker, and we went out to dinner, and she was wearing a little key pin that said Jesus. And I said, I really like that. And she says, Jesus is the key to everything. And we spent the next hour talking about Jesus, and she told me how to get saved. And I went home that night and knelt down next to my bed and accepted Jesus as my Savior. And walked about this high off the ground for the next 2 weeks. And in a week, my whole family got saved.
Wow, praise the Lord. Oh, just because somebody was aware enough to say, you know what, we're just going to go have some lunch together. Yeah. A whole family.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's...
My husband, my daughter, my youngest
brother. That's somebody you look back and say thank you to that person, right?
This was Kairos moment for me recently this summer. I'm going to start crying. When I was in Ireland and my mother-in-law passed away, and I couldn't be here with my family, and I was grieving, and I was with my mom and just trying to be present with her in that. And there were several times that God just showed up and linked my spirit back home with my family here. And one of those moments, we were on a tour, and early on in the tour, there was some sites that we were going to go see, and our tour driver said, you know, I know of a more beautiful place. If it's all right with all of you, I'll take you there further on down the road. And we said, yeah. Well, it happened to be that day he was going to take us to this more beautiful place, and it was just some bluffs overlooking the ocean. It was gorgeous. And as I was getting off the bus, he texted me that they were stopping the life support. They were going to take mom off the life support. And I walked out, and I was just looking at the ocean coming up, and it was so beautiful. And God just said to my heart that this is where my mother-in-law was going to be, in a place so much more beautiful even than I could imagine, that she was stepping into and walking into. And I had that time there to just be praying for her and appreciating that. And as I got back onto the bus, he texted me that she was gone. And it was just that it was a Kronos moment because it was at the same time, but it was a Kairos moment because God just showed up and gave me comfort and peace when I needed it, and I was away from my family here, so.
I got a keeper. Well, okay.
I'd like to say this about the Word of God. I grew up in, my mother died when I was two, and it wasn't a very happy home thereafter. And I looked and I searched and I listened to this church and that, and finally I kind of accepted Christ. But I had an uncle, Uncle Lex, World War I veteran. I began to Methodist. I began to ask him questions, and he could answer them. And one by one, I realized that Bible's alive. And you never, never get all of it, even on this here on this earth. You'll never get all that Bible. It's full of God and the Word. And I just stuck with it and kept studying. And I just, when I get to heaven, I want to see him. I'm waiting. But stay with the Word. If you don't understand it, ask someone. If you don't understand it, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, and you won't fall by the wayside. You may get down and all of that, but stay with the Word and with the Bible.
Amen. You're not disagree with that one. Well, thank you, everybody. I felt like listening to each other's stories on how God showed up, or somebody, God used somebody to just enter into a moment of, you know, for such a time. It was just a critical, crucial, crossroads type moment. Sometimes it was something that somebody else was faithful to respond, and they entered into our lives, and it was something for us. Sometimes it's going to be where God is saying, as we're listening, you need to go and connect with that person. Drop them a line. Give them a call. Ask them, everything okay? Whether you're on the receiving end or the giving end, God is all about making those moments, those opportune moments, happen in our lives. If we are willing to look for them, either to receive them or to be used by God in somebody else's life. So we're going to have a Kairos Christmas, right? That's what Christmas is all about. It's a moment that changed us. And there's opportunities, lots of opportunities, because the reason it's at least not just yet, it's not hard in our culture to talk about spiritual things there in Christmas, right? Because it really is about Jesus. Understanding that, you know, there's all of the presents and gifts and all that stuff. But you know what? We don't have to become combative about that stuff. We just, hey, we can have fun with those things. And yet we know that the most important thing is about Jesus. My dad was just telling me about that yesterday. Boy, he was going on. He started preaching at me. I'm like going, thank you, Lord. Where did this come from? Not my dad's usual approach. Praise the Lord. So I want to just give you a moment to be quiet with God and ask him yourself. I'm available. I want you to use me, and I want you to put me in those moments, whether it's to receive one, I'll be watching, or to be a part of you using me for somebody else's Kairos moment. I'm available. Would you just take this moment and pray? And you know what? I'm just going to ask as your extension of faith, that as you pray that prayer, just raise your hand to God and say, "Yes, Lord," and put it back down. This is not for me. It doesn't do me any good. I'm not trying to feed my ego. I just want you to do that purposeful, "Yes, Lord, here I am." And you pray that prayer now. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your desire to do these things in us, through us, to us. Help us to have our eyes fixed on what this season is all about. And Lord, let us find those moments that you have planned for us, because you do have them planned for us. You do have people that you want to put in our pathway that are going to be a blessing to us, or that we are going to be a blessing to. So teach us, Lord, to have ears to hear, eyes to see, a spirit that's just in tune to say, "Okay, it's morning. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me breath. Thank you for giving me the job that I'm going to, the things that I have to do today. Thank you for what you're going to do, what Kairos moment you have planned for today. I'm believing you for it. And we're thanking you by faith for them. In Jesus' name." And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Have your eyes open for those moments. He's got them in mind.